Morning. Thank everybody for joining us. It's the last share of the season. And obviously we spent the last part of the season just doing this online. And we miss everybody tremendously. There's so much that is gained. I think there's a certain excitement in the room every Sunday morning when everyone gathers together. And Be'ezus Hashem, we hope in the future that soon this should get back to normal. But you gotta do the best with what you have. And that's definitely, I guess, what we tried to do this year. We'd like to review this year's Shirim and firstly explain two reasons why we do it. One reason, it's true every year, all the time, is in all areas of Torah, perhaps one of the most important areas which needs review, which needs chazara, is halacha. Halacha is something which is hard to master, hard to remember, and there's a lot gained by reviewing concepts in halacha, practical halachas. This way, when someone comes to the scenarios, presents itself in front of a person will know the halacha. Many times, you know, Baruch Hashem, you could reach out and ask a halachic shayla. Just the other day, I saw a Talmud of mine posted on his WhatsApp status a halacha question. So I responded to it. He said, Rebbe, you're the first one to respond. You got a bracha shayla. It sounded like it was very relevant. I'm like, why did you put it on your WhatsApp status? He tells me, Rebbe, that was the quickest way to get an answer. I know there are many Rabbanim on his contacts. So he figures, instead of just contacting one individual, he posts it and see if anyone reads it. And he'll give him an answer right away. This is the 21st century. Now the shiurim we gave, you know, especially people might have missed over the course of all the challenges going on. So please, everyone's welcome. Believe, Baruch Hashem, all 39 shiurim are online on ytct.org by shiurim, and one can listen to them. One can even listen to them in pieces. You don't have to listen to an entire shiur one day. You can make a shiur a week's project, listen bit by bit. And go through a share. But I think there's a second reason why this year in particular, this time in particular, it's very kedai to go over halacha. And that is because halacha plays such a significant role in the world that we're currently living in. With all the challenges, with all the situations that have come about this year, the situation itself pushed us to ask questions we didn't ask before, to think about scenarios that we've never been in, and to see the halachic ramifications of that. And that itself, to go through life through the prism of halacha, what the right thing is to do in these challenging situations. Baruch Hashem, they've been, of what I know, three major collections of Corona Psakim, different poskim. There's one sefer I tried to get my hands on this week. It's already sold out. And there's a big need. And we'll see. We ourselves here in the shir went through multiple shirim, very relevant to our times. And I think it's a big schus for us. As Hashem, years from now, we'll look back at this period to know not only did we get through it physically, emotionally, but halachically, that the halacha, the adaptations, the shailas and halacha that we posed, that we worked out during this period, is something that hopefully will remain with us as a schus, of, as a Torah Jew, this is how you deal with situations. Deal with it through halacha. So what I'd like to do this morning is go through the shiurim that we did this year, and I organize it into three categories. First category, which is the biggest, has 17 shiurim, is general halachic topics. We'll see, this goes through Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. We'll get to, at the end, the biographies that we did of a few Gedolim. That's the first area. The second area I defined as Shabbos and Moadim. Halacha is relevant to Shabbos, halacha is relevant to Yontif, and all different Moadim of the year. That too, we go through the year cycle of Yom Tovim, and Baruch Hashem, we're able to start this year from the beginning of the cycle, and by the end of the cycle, start by Yom Ha'arayim halachas, and end by halachas of Bimitzarim, 3 weeks. And finally, we put together a 9, but it's really more than that. Probably 12 different shiurim, which were all based on current events. And that we'll save for last. I didn't put this year a top 10 list because I felt we were not all together. And even though I've received a lot of feedback, but I didn't think we had the full ratings. They say the schools are not giving out full grades either. So we'll have to wait for next year for a top 10 list. So let us begin. First year, I would spend and talk about, obviously I can't spend so much time in each year, just a quick reminder, and you can check out the full extent of the share on the archives. I'll also give, I believe I have 6 postscripts, additional points I'd like to add, stories to different shiurim. Actually, I think I got 2 in each category, so look out for those too. So the first shiur I would like to talk about was something we did, Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis is the mitzvah of Puruvu. And we spoke about the mitzvah of Puruvu in terms of Goyim. Do Gentiles have a mitzvah of Puruvu? The purpose wasn't just to talk about the birth rates in America and the world, but rather we talked about a pretty basic naftamina, that if someone becomes a ger, what's the halacha? You know, many times people can become, you know, be able to make these life-changing experiences later in life, and they have children but no longer have the ability to have children. So what's with them in the mitzvah Puruvu? And there at Tzadim, we went through Ramosha as a chiddush in general the mitzvah Puruvu, that Ramosha perhaps would say in such a situation that they were mekayim it. That was one shiur. Second shiur, which is a Yerodeh topic, also done towards the beginning of the year, Parsha of Mila by Avraham Avinu. So we did what was entitled A Bris Without a Bagel 2. Last year we gave a share also entitled The Bris Without a Bagel. Last year's share was about a bris on Shabbos. I was assuming that, 2 years ago, I was assuming that people don't have bagels when they have a Shabbos bris. It's more likely to have a kakash cake than a bagel. But, cholent. But, this bris, we were talking about the early evening bris. Normally brisim are in the morning, the din of zrizim akdim and lemitzvos. We discussed there might be multiple scenarios, multiple situations where you push off a bris to later in the day. In fact, don't remember if we touched on it in the share. I recently saw like a whole question. It says that by Avraham Avinu, yes, that is the question we touched on, right? That it says by Avraham Avinu, his bris was done, the etzem yom hazeh, the middle of the day. So they ask in it, what happened to Zrizim HaDimon? Especially, we did an Aruch HaShulchan who spoke very strongly against people who push off a bris. So why is it that the bris was pushed off? It's interesting. You know, we did this earlier in the year, but the ramifications are definitely in the world today. Nowadays, you know, there's so much going on. You see brisim on Zoom, and lav dafka every moel is able to do brisim depending on his age and circumstance. And I'm sure there are many times that you have to push off brisim to later in the day because of just scheduling conflicts or situations that we would have to deal with. So there are reasons we gave, making Kiddush Hashem, sometimes Rovam Hadrash Melech. These would be factors to perhaps delay a bris, push it later in the day. Third shear, Choshen Nishpat shear, buying stolen goods. We did this after a case called the $1 billion jewel heist, where someone stole these like amazing jewels, and people don't steal it just to make their own display, usually into making money. And we went through what to do if one realizes they bought stolen goods. And we talked about the marketplace today, Amazon, secondary sellers, people always selling things. You never know, you could end up buying things that have issues with buying stolen goods. And it's important to always try to be as above board as possible. We had stories about Rav Pam and his great honesty. That was quite a popular share. I remember I had a lot of positive feedback after that. And I think people thought it was more relevant than I did. Next year, you know, by this point in the normal Chazara, guys will be talking about, we just did a bris without a bagel. This is a shear without a bagel. Usually a shear like this, we'd have an amazing breakfast. But okay, I see people asking for rain checks. Now, this also might be relevant to this morning. Thunder, lightning, I was davening, so I didn't see it, but it looked like it rained. Rainbows and unicorns. I think the end part, my daughter would be very excited about rainbows and unicorns. But we did a shiur which talked about all different types of brachos, the brachos of thunder and lightning together here in Florida. Yeah, we get a lot of lightning. You even get what you call heat lightning, which we went through in the shiur. One would not make a bracha on, according to the Mishnah Berurah. We went through halachas of seeing weird animals. There are multiple gemaras that might be proofs that unicorns did exist. You know, these are the type of things you're home a lot, you know, doing activities with kids. You know, you never know what you might do. Tie-dye's back in, so maybe unicorns could get back in too. We did a shiur in Yerodea regarding mikvah shiloh, is going through complicated situations which come about in Hilchos Mikvahs, how to deal with it. Remember, we talked about some famous people who were involved in building mikvahs and working out situations. Our sixth shiur I'd like to review is a shiur we entitled A Super Shiloh. Yes, it was on Super Sunday, and it was called a Nebraska Trucker, Lots of Meat, and the Clock is Ticking. So I believe a lot of people remember that share. It was quite a popular one. That share talked about the halacha that basar b'lim alicha, that meat needs to be salted. And you know, in the olden days, people used to salt the meat in their homes. Nowadays, you buy meat that's already salted. But within the process of, You know, a lot of times now, as soon as it's shechted, it's salted right away. Sometimes you have situations where they're shipping meat that was not salted, and basically you have a 72-hour window from the time when it's shechted for you to do malicha. But there's halacha that if you would wash it within that time, so it's able to reset the clock. And that's why during a blizzard, as in that case, where the truck is stuck on the side of the road, you can have some issues. If someone didn't listen to the share yet, I'm not going to reveal to them the excitement of what happened and how the Rav and the trucker figured out how to solve it, or they thought they solved it. So if you're into interesting, exciting reads or listens, make sure to check out. It was the 17th share we did this year. Super Shaila, Nebraska trucker, lots of meat, and the clock is ticking. The seventh share I'd like to talk about was entitled Help Wanted, Chesed in the Business World. And David Kalundi gave me this share when he told me of a business situation, how he overheard once someone in business saying, someone asked to do him a chesed. So this businessman said, chesed, people come to my door every night, do chesed. 9 to 5 is business, it's not chesed. So we gave a whole share. I thought that was a great story to build off. That really the halacha calls that during 9 to 5, not just after, but during 9 to 5, people should spend as much time and much ability they have to do chesed. And if you could help someone out, you could find a Jewish vendor who gives you a good competitive price. That's a chesed. Give a person a job. Give them a chesed. I saw a wonderful thing. I really have two postscripts to this share that I saw started recently, post-corona. I guess we call the world, BCE, before corona era, and after. So I saw post-corona that someone started. I think it's a beautiful thing. They call it the Shul Networking Organization, where they want, it's basically from Jews together, are networking within shuls, within situations of people that need jobs, people that need things. You know, nowadays, if anything, the job market has exploded in the sense that there's so much jobs that are now dealing with the fact that people are going to work remotely. You don't have to live in New York City to work in New York City anymore. With all the travel bans and issues, there's so much work that's being done online. And that itself really opens up opportunities for people. You could live here in Miami, but you could be working in West Virginia. And all the more so, it's a tremendous chesed, this organization that's grassroots. People are helping other people out with jobs, with any help in the business world. Yeah, that's a big thing. Nice to see you, Josh. I'll tell you another story. This one I heard years ago from Rabbi Rodin, Chash of a Rav in Dallas, Texas. He said when he was in Kollel, so it was hard to make ends meet, and you had to put food on the table, and you had a measly Kollel stipend, and who knows if your wife is working, not working. So Rabbi Rodin said, at one point in Kollel, he had a great job that helped him out. Basically, one of his older Rebbeim, a Rebbe he had, I believe, in high school years ago, Rebbe Mainz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, offered him that he wanted someone to write over the Rosh Hashiva's shirim, whether it was in Gemara or Musar, Chumash. And he asked Rabbi Ronan, could you go and write over, look at the Pesach to write over the shirim? Can you do it? He said, sure. And he went and spent a year, put extra time and extra effort with this task, this job, to write over the Rosh Hashirim, and he was paid. Years later, he found out no one really needed him to write over the Hashirim. It was just a means to give a kol guy some extra money to help him get through it. And that's another perfect example of chesed, in business. That's a pure chesed. It's a chesed covered with business. But there are many times people do have needs. Find the person a job. See what you could do to help a person out. That is a very big deal. Next year, have to watch my clock. I have to get through 39 shiur. Next year was a sugya of Ani Mahapath B'Charara. We called it House for Sale Competitive Buyers. And I remember I gave the share here Sunday morning. I did it later, I think a week later. A guest in the Presidential Estates for Shabbos. Remember, I gave a whole share Shabbos afternoon on this topic. And it's very relevant. In the business world, there's a lot of competition. And what's tricky is in halacha, if there's another Jew who's involved in potentially buying something, it's not so simple to just outbuy him, outbid him. I'm thinking, this is not a postscript, but it's just funny. I think the New York Mets are currently for sale. And there are all these people looking to buy them. Okay, one of the people, Mr. Rodriguez, Alex Rodriguez, he's not Jewish. But I think all the other buyers who are looking to buy the Mets are all Jewish. I think they say Sheldon Alderson is one of the new people involved. And we're talking about billionaires dropping $2 billion for a baseball team that loses money. But it's in New York. It doesn't happen so often. But really, if you think about the halachas of Ani Mahapath B'Charara, it gets a little tricky. Because once you already have people in there, it's not so simple just to swoop in and to outbid. And definitely a very relevant share. People could listen to that. That was the 20th share we did this year. House for Sale Competitive Buyers. The next share I know was a huge favorite, even though it was in the corona era, and I didn't see the smiles on people's faces, not just because of the coffee, but the smiles at the end of the share. So how do I know this share was a big hit? Pun intended, because I saw how many hits it got online. There are many, many, many people that saw the share. If you know the yeshiva's website, it has how many views on it, but for some reason, I don't get this. Avraham Eliezer is going to have to explain it to me. It recycles every so often, goes back to zero. So like all the numbers there are off because somehow it recycles. So you can't, in order to know how many people saw it, you have to like monitor the site, and see, every couple days, what number is it up to, and you can add them together. But this share, it was entitled Reb Chaim's Buha, Understanding Language in Halacha. And we gave the whole share understanding that Chaim Kanievsky, quite a few years ago, started the practice, and instead of what he used to do, people used to come to him, he used to give him a general bracha called Bracha V'Hatzlacha. He switched, due to the throngs of people coming, to just Buha, three letters. And we went through what the basis is. What is Buha exactly? Is it a made-up language? Is it other things. We went through Yad. We went through found the tshuva. At least some Shakratarya. Came out, he only does buha, he doesn't do refush. You know, for refush alema, he does it totally. But for bracha v'atzlacha, he does buha. And that, we went through the reasoning behind such a fascinating hanhaga from one of the gedolim. We did 10th shtir, I'd like to review, was not too long ago. It's Shir and Ebenezer. The wondrous world of Nazar, analyzing Shmuel Hanavi's status. We know Shimshon HaGibor, he was a Nazar. But what's interesting, it's really the last blot in Gemara Nazar talks about Shmuel Hanavi's status. And we went through, could Shmuel have been a Nazar or not? A lot of ramifications. Obviously, the fact that people have been locked up, maybe that was also Corona inspired, because until people got out, they'd be able to get haircuts. Gosh, you know, everyone could look like a Nazar. The next year had the best Corona title, which had nothing to do with Corona. Well, it's not true. The shir had some ramifications. But we gave a shir called Halachos of Social Distancing. That was a cutie title on the Isser of Yichud. The Halachos of Social Distancing. And we went through in general the important Halachos of Yichud, which is an area which is not necessarily so well known, but is very relevant. And there are many situations at the office, sometimes in one's house with cleaning help. It comes up a lot. And we went through different scenarios of potentially surim, as well as ways to get out of it, heterim. And in some situations, it's tricky that some of the heterim did not apply. We did a shiur on avelos and sudos for simcha. Practical questions on social gathering in a year of avelos, which unfortunately is relevant halachas, and went through what things people could attend, can attend. Nowadays, if attending means Zoom, yeah, I think we could do almost anything. Kavuras Yisrael. This one was titled The Little Lady and the Big Bad Wolf. Nice little title that hides the fact the shir was about the dangers of cremation. And we did this with the organization NASAC, National Association for Chevra Kedishas. And unfortunately, I gave the shir after a story that happened within the neighborhood, which Baruch Hashem ended the right way, where the person did get Kavuras Yisrael, but it was a situation where there was a woman who was nefteris, and almost her kin almost subjected her to cremation for some people's intervention. And that is a big, big mitzvah, a big deal to stop people from being cremated. And something to talk to people about and educate people. They don't realize nowadays in America it's become such a common means of how people deal with things that unfortunately just the knowledge of these halachas, and you never know the impact you have by speaking about it, by gently touching on the topic, could have a big, big impact and serve as a tremendous schos. I remember we had multiple fascinating stories of schosim that people got for intervening. And the last general topic before I get to the gedolim was a shir the week we did of Asar B'Teves was called A Meaningful Fast. And just going through the basic halachas of fast days, which that itself could be a good thing to listen to coming up before Tisha B'Av, even though Tisha B'Av is not like a regular fast day. There's even so many more aspects to it, but of all the fast days, for sure, we'd want to make Tisha B'Av a meaningful day. This year we did 3 shiurim on Gedolim, as we've done in the past couple of years, and each of them generated a lot of response, a lot of popularity. The one we did post-corona, a lot of hits on the website. The first one we did, Rav Scheinberg, that was entitled "A Famous Israeli Posek Who Was Born a Yankee." And that was a pun. He was born in America. He grew up a Yankee fan. And we spoke about him. Rav Scheinberg, he touched on 3 areas. The new path of Psak. Scheinberg was somebody who was a trailblazer in this sense, that he very much relied on this Psakim, on the Mishnah Berurah. He was an absolute bucky in Mishnah Berurah. He gave shiurim in Mishnah Berurah. And fascinating, I came across that he got shimush, he got halachic training in Psak Halacha with the Mishnah Berurah from his Rosh Hashiva he worked with for many years in the Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva, the founder of David Leibowitz. So David was a great nephew of the Chafetz Chaim, who in fact learned the Chavrusa with the Chafetz Chaim. And Rav David even helped the Chafetz Chaim write part of Chelek Vav, Hilchos Sukkah. Rav David wrote with him. And Rav Scheinberg picked up a lot of klalim from Rav Scheinberg. Luban just told me a story, I remember, that Rav Scheinberg's Bekiyas Mishnah Berurah was like impeccable. He knew, not just in general halacha, he knew exactly what number footnote it was, what sifkatan it was in the Mishnah Berurah, like total command of the Mishnah Berurah. That was one aspect of Rav Scheinberg. We spoke about that Rav Scheinberg was an amazing posek for women, and he spent a lot of time dealing with women's issues and talking and giving shiurim over the course of a year, definitely before Pesach, with women. And till this day, Rav Scheinberg's klalim on cleaning for Pesach, like all over, everyone knows of it. I think it came from the schus that he was someone very dedicated to explaining halacha to women, which is an important area. And the third aspect we spoke about Rav Scheinberg, which how could he not, in halachic terms, is Rav Scheinberg's affinity for the mitzvah of tzitzis, which we all know he wore many, many pairs of tzitzis. So we went through that in halacha. Definitely a fascinating share to listen to. We did another Adam Gadol, tremendous posek, Rav Nissen Karelitz, who was a nephew of the Chazon Ish, from a simple house in Bnei Brak. And we spoke about, you know, I haven't tackled yet, we'll see, Bez Hashem, next year. I haven't tackled with the Chazon Ish, with Moshe, the Chafetz Chaim, those are huge halachic personalities. The Nissen Karelitz was a means of touching on the Chazon Ish without doing the Chazon Ish. One of the things of Rav Nissen was he was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, and he very much kept the Mesorah, the Shitas of the Chazon Ish, and was very influential in doing that. You know, the Bnei Brak today, a lot of it lives with Psakim of the Chazon Ish, and a lot is due to Nissen, together with Yibad Al-Chaim, Al-Chaim Kanievsky, and the whole Kanievsky family. He was very into their uncle, Chaim's uncle, the Chazon Ish. And that's why today Bnei Brak has a lot of Psakim. It comes from Rav Nissen and Rav Chaim. We also talked about how he set up a Beis Din, which is a prototype Beis Din. There are people that went from America, traveled to learn how to do a Beis Din from Rav Nissen Karelitz. And that too, he was a tremendous Adam Gadol in Shimush, in training people how to be Poskim. And he spent a lot of time with young Poskim, which is a very important area. And the final Adam Gadol that we touched on not so long ago was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, which I like the title, "A Memorable Gadol, a Forgotten Posek." Is we know that Rabbi Yaakov was one of the Gadolim of the last generations, but we don't realize that he was also a big posek. I think part of it was he lived in the shadow of Moshe Feinstein. But Lomaisa Rabbi Yaakov, we went through three areas. He had a tremendous depth of psak, a very deep understanding, and his psakim were unique psakim in that sense. So they had a tremendous depth to them. He was a very practical person. We had the stories of him being lost in the cab, amongst others, and figuring things out. And that affected his psak halacha too. One of his talmidim is also a very practical person in psak. That was Reb Dolsky. And I'm sure he learned a lot from Reb Yaakov's nature of being so practical. And the third area that we spoke about to Reb Yaakov was his knowledge of minhagim. And many times trying to cater psakim to fit and to keep minhagim and such clarity and the understanding of minhagim, which is amazing. I'll add one story, a postscript, which I didn't have a chance to tell in the share. Rabbi Yachnis, Rabbi Yachnis told me that years ago he was walking Rabbi Yaakov around the elementary school. I don't believe it was here in Florida. I believe it was in New York. And he passed by a young child's classroom. And I believe the situation was the mezuzah was low in that class. And the reason was, it was a class for young kids. And they figured they want to encourage the children to kiss the mezuzah. So they placed the mezuzah very low on the wall, in the door frame. This way, a young, short kid could kiss the mezuzah. Rabbi Yaakov saw that, and Rabbi Yaakov gently said, that's the wrong thing to do. The mezuzah should go back up to where it should be. Because he said, oh, but the children, how are the children going to kiss it? So Rabbi Yaakov beautifully taught, he said, it's a perfect example of a lesson to teach children that we don't bend to halacha, we rise to the occasion. And what would be best, you put the mezuzah there, put a little careful step stool, and let the kids stand on the step stool to kiss the mezuzah. But don't bend halacha. The child should see where the halacha is and what he has to strive to reach. Rabbi Yaakov, that's Gadol's perspective in how to set up a classroom for halachically for children. So that's the end of the general halachic topics. I have to get through Shabbos Nemoadim as well as current events, so I'll pick up the pace. So the first year we gave this year was sushi on Shabbos. And the shir talked about, is there any problem with making sushi on Shabbos? Remember the kashrus people at the shir were saying different organizations, different kashrus organizations recommend different things. Not so simple. There potentially is an issue of bona, of building something on Shabbos. Is one able to do that? Sushi is best assembled fresh. What does one do? We gave a shir, Kabbalah Shabbos and Sfiras HaOmer. Halacha is in two directions. And that shir focused on that what happens if you have a case where someone forgot to count Sfira, but on, I guess you call it Thursday night, but he already was Makabal Shabbos early on Friday. Summer Shabbos, does an early Shabbos. So in that scenario, is he able to somehow count Sfira, even though right now it's already Shabbos, it's ready the next day. It's before Shkia, so normally you have till Shkia to count Sfira, but what do they do in this case? And we've got an issue, is there any way somewhat to undo Shabbos, perhaps? Maybe Shabbos is just a neder and you can be matur in the darim. So we did a shir, the halakas neiros for Shabbos and Yom Tov. an interesting source, and the interesting source is quite a story of how the wife of the Prisha came up with two very interesting psalkim. One of them was on the procedure for lighting Yom Tov candles being different than Shabbos candles, whether you do it beforehand or after, and there was a contrast. Then this year to another halacha of one time to light. We did a shir chazan for Slichos and Yom Aron. He went through all the qualifications of a chazanar, and halacha has pretty high standards of what it is. And we found in our research some story about the first motion pictures here in America was something called the jazz singer. It was about a kid who went off the derech and was aspired to be a chazan just like his grandfather. Ayin Shom. He did a shir called the Esra Gemach, which involved whether one could borrow an esrog, especially on the first day. The dinim of lachem went through the halachas of children, which complicates matters there. We did a shir halachas neiros Chanukah b'shas sakana, lighting Chanukah candles in the anti-Semitic world. This is already a time when things were fortunately going bad in the world, so we thought that was an appropriate topic. And the halacha talks about the differences that one perhaps could accommodate if they're afraid of goyim. We did a shir persume nisa on Chanukah, Purim, and Shabbos. Chanukah, we understand persume nisa. On Pesach, right? It was persume nisa, Chanukah, Pesach, and Shabbos. Pesach was an area which was surprising to some. There's an issue of persume nisa, and even Shabbos was like, huh, where's that all about? Ayin Shom. We did a second topic in sushi. We did this with Zecher Nishmas, Rabbi Levine. Sushi for Shalach Manos. And this got involved with would sushi be considered 1 minute or 2 minute? And it touched on the issues of the bracha on sushi, which that itself is a big halachic hak. And finally, I think this is one of the last year we did before Corona hit, was women in Megillas Esther, the responsibility, do they have to hear Megillah with a minion or not? Have to hear Megillah. Then we did Pesach Shirim. So we know Corona hit Purim time. So really, the rest of the Shirim, which are listed in my category of Shabbos Mo'adim, were, yeah, they were on the holidays, but they were equally on the Corona issue. I didn't officially list it as my current events, but they all had. One we did, which we thought was cute, was everyone was busy washing their hands 1,000 times a day. So I decided to give a share on Orchatz, on the minhagim of washing during the Seder, do it twice, right? We wash before Hamotzi, but by Matzah, but we also wash by Karpas, went through those halachas. Siyum Bechorim, why this year is different. That chair saw got a tremendous amount of hits and was a very relevant chair. How to perform a siyum this year with the situation. That time came out all across the Jewish world. One was not able to go to shul. And siyum became a very big issue. And within the chair, we talked about there was one approach many rabbanim gave that one could listen to one on Zoom, over the phone. There are heterim for that. But Meida Gisa, we give an approach that's not the ideal thing, and it would be best for a person to make their own siyum. It's not so easy to make a siyum, so we gave easier topics and things to do. One very interesting postscript from this is there's somebody, young Rabbi Schoenfeld, grandson of Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld from Kew Gardens Hills. So this Rabbi Schoenfeld realize that, you know, there are a lot of kids that ideally people should make their own siyum. So, well, yeah, a young Bukhar. So he came up with an idea of making like a night Seder program where they'll go through an easier, shorter Masechta either Tumim or Hurios, they did little by little. They did this going into Pesach for weeks. And this way, they made a Siyam. All these kids were able to make a Siyam on Masechta for Siyam B'charim. This little program called Night Seder America spread to the extent, I think, I'm not sure if they're on hiatus now because of the summer, but in the heyday, they had 1,500 kids every night signing into this program, Night Seder America, learning those fun games and this. But it all started, what I believe, I saw an article about it, was all based on making a Siyam in time for Erev Pesach. Amazing. You see what halacha could do. He started the program, 1,500 kids every night. Amazing. We did the mitzvah of Igalta Levincha, especially this year, when many people did not spend, unfortunately, Siddurim families together. So we gave a shiur. This year is separate, but still could be special. And we went through different, the obligation of Igalta Levincha, which Pashtus is an obligation when they're in front of you. If children are in front of you, you don't really have an obligation necessarily, Igalta Levincha. But we spoke about the idea of parents, grandparents, being able to connect with kids. You know, they can't sit there at the Seder, but maybe write a letter, maybe talk to them, say over a Dvar Torah. Have the kids say over Dvar Torah before Pesach, after Pesach to the grandparents. And that's what we spoke about in the share. A fascinating postscript to this is one of the Chevra, Pesach Kudman. So he enjoyed the idea of writing a letter to his kids. And he showed me the letter that he wrote. Basically, he was telling them that, look, even though we're not together this year, we have to be besimcha. And Rav Pesach came up with a great idea. He said, you know what? Some point, I forgot when he says, we should all go out, every block, and we should sing. We should be happy and sing together. And Kachava, he set this up. It went out, community notice. I think it was like 9:15, something like that. Everyone should go out and sing a Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim, whatever. And I remember the first night, okay, you know, I like Pesach. It's a great guy. Comes to the share. I'll do it. I told my family, I'm going to go out. We didn't know what would be. We go outside, my neighbor on one side, my neighbor on the other side, down the block, and basically everybody is singing. It was such a beautiful moment of simcha that we're not alone. You know, we might be have to be confined into our houses. No one's going to anyone else's house. No one's having any other guests. But to walk outside on Lel Seder each night and have simcha, I think that was a beautiful postscript and outcome from something from the share. And the last topic, which is relevant to the cycles of the year, the share we gave a couple weeks ago, Beit HaMitzarim and vacation, the Chofesh. 3 weeks of vacation, we went through different things one might be able to do, may not be able to do with regards to vacation and the period of the 3 weeks. So far, we've gone through 30 shiurim. We have 9 left. These 9 are what I call the Inyan HaYom, the current events. And really, it speaks about, I think, 4 major events that happened this year. 4 major events that happened this year, looking back. We had, in the beginning of the year, towards Hanukkah time, fortunately there was an uptick in anti-Semitic attacks all across the Jewish world. There's a lot going on in New York. Well, it's one story in Muncie, how a Yid was stabbed viciously. Unfortunately passed away since then. And there was a lot of anti-Semitic violence in the world. You know, it was the first harbinger of bad news for this year. And post that, we decided to give a share entitled In Self-Defense. This is the 15th share of the year. And we talked about, from a halakhic perspective, what one can do in self-defense. Mi'ira Gisa, this is one of the, I believe, the highlights of the year, perhaps the decade, in the Jewish world. Such an amazing event. We gave a share on the Siyam HaShas. We did it a month before the Siyam, before we could even imagine what that event would be. And that event, which I hope people didn't forget, but it's kedai to go back, watch, and listen. There was such a hazara, such an inspiration that the Jewish world had after this past Siyam HaShas, despite the fact people were sitting there in the frigid cold. But the excitement and the numbers of people that went on to learn daily shiurim after, they say Daf Yomi shiurim were off the charts. It wasn't just Daf Yomi. There were many other programs that started, Amud Yomi, Amud Shvua, that started or were rejuvenated and mechazik with it. And there really was a lot that was gained in the Jewish world by that Siyam HaShas, and I'm sure there was a big schus and a big shmira that the Jewish world had this before. It was the refuah before the makkah, the chizuk that people had, you know, whatever daily, weekly learning that has been going on in the Jewish world. I'm sure that chizuk that we had from the Siyam HaShas is something that helped us, especially through this very challenging period. We gave a share just a few weeks ago for the civil unrest here in America, fortunately around the world too, entitled Grave Mistakes from Medical Malpractice to Excessive Force. And we went through the halakhic ramifications of a doctor, police officer, who makes a mistake and kills someone when they shouldn't have. What's the halakhic ramifications for such a case? And it's important to hear the Torah Hashkafa on that. The rest of the shiurim really were on Corona, and we did so many different topics. We started, it's actually the 100th share that I gave, called 100 Brachas a Day, Keeping the Plagues Away. That was the first week we missed doing it live. And we spoke about it. I saw other shiurim around the world. People touch on this topic too, that there's a special schus of saying Mea Brachas B'chol Yom. That was actually a schus against plagues. And we went through, you know, not every time is it so simple to reach the 100 brachas. How does one reach that? We did a shiur called A World of Chesed. Mitzvah Zriach, the after Ech Kamocha, Mitzvah Chesed, and we use it to go through legacies of people who passed away during Corona period and all the Chesed that they did. And, you know, of all the Shirim, I thought this in itself is an interesting postscript, is it's a big schus. If you're going to listen to one share that to make up, I'll listen to this one first. Because you know what? Just listening to that share is a chesed. Because you're going to hear short biographies about different people who passed away and different chesed ideas that these people did. And whatever little inspiration we could get, Kol Shekein, a great inspiration we get, listening to that share. It's a source for all those people. And you know, it's one of the saddest parts of this tkufa is the people that we lost, the people that unfortunately didn't make it. But whatever we could do to keep their legacy, to just hear stories of them, I think that is an important share. It was the 29th share of the year, the World of Chesed. We did a share on Parsha Pileup. I saw I got a tremendous amount of hits on that one. Once we went back to Shul, there was Make It Up, and we gave, I think, a very important balance in Halach on that share. See the difference between different opinions of whether to make it up or not. We went through the concept of having a minion for a chuppah, which nowadays, where chuppahs could be a very small event, not what they used to be during Corona. So what's the requirement of having a minion? Does one need to have a minion? All different things touched on that. One other topic we did in Corona was Nichum Avelim, a sensitive mitzvah in surreal times. I'd like to share with you a personal story, which I think is a pretty crazy postscript. You know, one of the challenges of Nichum Avelim during this period was you were not able to go to people's homes. Nichum Avelim was relegated to a phone call, maybe a Zoom chat. And I'm sure it was very hard on the Avelim, and you know, it's an opportunity we normally have by Nichum Avelim to reach out to people, and it's so much harder in this situation. Personally, I knew of somebody that during this period lost a wife, not directly to Corona, but associated with the period, and lost a son to Corona. Sort of one after the other. The wife was Nefteres, and then the son was. I wanted to reach out to this person, and unfortunately, at a certain point, this person wasn't taking any more phone calls. It was just suppressing. It was overcome with grief, and it was too much. Never had the opportunity to reach out to the person. It's not a person that I see on a daily basis, and I felt bad. I wish I could have done Nichum Avelim. One of the things we learned in the share, Nichum Avelim is really something you could do the whole year, and obviously the ideal time, Iker time, is during Shiva, but Nichum Avelim is something that the person could give chizuk to another person. The story blew my mind. This past Friday, someone sent me a text that Minyan Friday night is 7 o'clock. I'm davening in yeshiva, I'm davening in a shul. None of those Minyanim were 7 o'clock. I never got a text till now that Minyan was 7 o'clock. I realized someone got the wrong number. This text is not meant for me. So I sent back a response text that I'm sorry, but you must have the wrong person. And what I realized was a firm person reaching out. They said, no, it actually meant for somebody else. Can you pass this on to that other person who happened to know the other person? So I was a little curious, like, who sent me this text? They mixed me up with this other person who I also know. Who's this person who's sending me this text? This is somebody not in Florida. This was a minion elsewhere. I reached out. Oh, by the way, you know, who is this? It was that person who I wanted to Nichum Avelim to months ago. I called him back, and we talked for a few minutes, and then I decided to very carefully, you know, bring up that I wanted to do Nichum Avelim and wanted to give them a chizuk, and I proceeded to do that over the phone. This person was so touched and so moved. It clearly made his day, and to me, I was blown away. I was running nuts, crazy. Hashkafa brought the story. I wanted to do Nichum Avelim to somebody, and here Hashem Inu Liado, that this person randomly, mistakenly texts me something, and I decided to check back and found out it was them, and I reached out to them. like a pretty amazing thing. Finally, the last share that we gave last week was on the concept of Tzipisa LeYeshua. What are we waiting for? Response to a recent popular article. And I didn't see anyone send in a letter to Mishpacha yet. I won't have to do it myself. But we gave, I think, a very important yisod. We pushed back against an opinion presented by a very chash of a person. But there was I believe, that date back quite a while, that this is not necessarily the way we do it. And really, this itself, I think, is a summary of everything. That we're living through a challenging period, and we really have to take whatever we can, whatever personal losses we have, even if it's just the simple aspect that we can't come to a share, we can't go to shul. That's a big deal. And we should channel these feelings to daven to Hashem, to beseech Hashem, to feel pain, especially during the 3 weeks. This is all part of our galus. This is all part of the broader picture of Jews in exile. And we should daven to Hashem. Hashem, bring us home. Bring us home, ideally, to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But at least bring us back to our shuls in a normal fashion, that we should be zocha to be in our mikdash ma'at, and through that first step of being in our mikdash ma'at, daven even better to the Ezra Hashem breach, our ultimate geula with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and here of Yemenu. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone, for participating this year, and we all be zocha to spend much more time together, live, going through many, many halachic topics. Go to a wonderful summer.